Gal-Gadot is Superman. Because of all the bhakti and all the garlands, he's drowning in bhakti. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. So, the Resh Ji, on this auspicious Ekadasi day, which Ekadasi, what's it called? Anyway, yeah, I'm not these things so much. But it's the day after, which? Oh, is it? Okay, anyway, on this auspicious, extremely auspicious Ekadasi day, which is doubly auspicious due to being the anniversary of his appearance in this miserable material world, that he appeared and he's given all of us, isn't it, some inspiration and so on and so forth. Don't we all feel benefited by his association?
Right.
Sure. So, very nice. It is auspicious, doubly, because it means it is the anniversary of the day based on which we got his association. So he has chosen, in the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Text 32. This is kind of somewhat technical, philosophical. Well, the whole chapter is somewhat technical, actually. And the verses also, but let's see what we can make of it. Purusha Prakriti Sohi Mungte Prakriti Jan Guna Karanam Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Jankasu. Translation: the living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus, he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another, just as one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances. Yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another, because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the signs of God from Krishna, the living entity. If he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature, and gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In a Vedic mantra, it is said that as he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionately relishes his eternal, blissful life. Purusha prakriti stohi, bhunte prakriti janganam, karanam guna sangosya, sadasad yoni janmasu. The living entity and material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. All the Gyanatamaranda Sergeant Anjana Shanakaya, Shakshamilatamiyanatasma, Shri Gurudevana, Shri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitam Yanabhutane, Swayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swapandika, Panchkap Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Paditanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namonama, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadana, Shivasvi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, as people have acted in the past, they are placed in a situation now. And that situation now is not passive. It is dynamic. Here, Krishna says, the living entity follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. So the person's life is surcharged with energy. Surcharged with energy in terms of the karma. If the person, in simple terms, has good karma, then they become surcharged with some good energy and naturally inclined to do nice things, and they're naturally clear-headed, more clear-headed. And therefore they're naturally able to function more effectively and nicely. But someone who in the past has acted in certain ways, and now their karma is such, lots of motive passion, then they'll be pushed to act passionately. And even if you tell them, stop, sit down, maybe they'll sit down very briefly, but then they'll be off. Prabhupada, you could read in the Leelamrita, he tells about one of his, I think, nephews or some young relative like that. And he was pushed by the mode of passion. That was his karma, passionate nature, so much energy. So, it was the local joke, it seems, you know, let's tell the boy to stop and see how long he can stop for. And it won't be long, then we'll laugh and say, oh, just see. So Prabhupada, one day, it's explained in the Leelamrita, He tried to bribe the boy. He offered him kachoris. Apparently the boy liked kachoris. Prabhupada told him, you sit still for 2 minutes. I will give you 2 kachoris. And the boy, of course, he was attracted. So he sat down. But after, not the 2 minutes, but maybe after 1 minute, it was just the passionate energy was just coming up, and off he went. And he didn't get his kachoris. Such is life in association with the modes of material nature. So therefore it's very difficult for people to really exhibit free will. Of course, people talk about living your own life, being your own person, and, you know, even there was many years ago, someone sang a song, I did it my way. I think you heard of that, haven't you? I can't remember who that was. But anyway, yeah. Was it? Okay, I didn't want to say that. He was my father's top of the pops. So we heard in our childhood. But yes, people may talk about do your own thing. For someone, their thing is more peaceful and sattvic. Do your own thing to them may mean go to some very peaceful, nice place. Take in the atmosphere. Or listen to some very sweet orchestral music or something like that. To someone else, do your own thing means, you know, very passionate run around here and there. And loud music like in the taxi. Oh, 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 oh. And to someone else, do your own thing means go to sleep. But it's like that. So, your own thing. But who are you? You're not part of this material world. You're an eternal spirit soul. But you have become conditioned by a certain combination of the modes. It may be more in the mode of goodness than you're more peaceful and organized and so on. It may be more in the mode of passion, so you're more active, hot, temperatured person. It may be more in the mode of ignorance and then you're dull and, you know, that sort of condition. There was a lady, she was about 45, suddenly she had a heart attack, and she was just about to die, and God appeared, Krishna appeared to her and said, it's not your time yet, you're going to live for another 43 years, near-death experience. And then she came out of it and back to normal. And she thought, wow, I'm going to have another 43 years. That's great. I'm going to get into it then. So she went out, bought a whole lot of new clothes, had her hair done in some, you know, jazzy way, multicolored, and, you know, I don't know, but maybe 45, some wrinkles are coming, so maybe she had something done about the wrinkles and the sort of all these types of things. And she was feeling like, life is cool, I'm going to go for it now. A few days later she was run over by a car and killed. And Krishna appeared to her and she said, hey, you told me I had 43 years left. What happened? He said, look, I'm so sorry. I couldn't recognize you. not about the point of it. It makes it Then there was the other lady. Oh boy. The other lady. She was one of these henpecked types, no? Go on and on and on until the husband just cannot handle it. And he says, okay, okay, whatever you want. She was like that. And that life was tough for him. He was just, he'd had enough. Then she died. And he thought, he sort of breathed a sigh of relief. To some degree. Then they were having the funeral. She was in the coffin. And as they were going out of the, whatever, the house or the temple, whatever it was, to put the coffin in the hearse, they bumped into a pillar. Bang! And suddenly there was a knocking from inside. Somehow that bang had brought her back. So she lived on for another few years, carrying on, you know. A very, really sharp-tongued lady. And then she died again. So this time, she was in the coffin, in the same place. And as they're carrying the coffin out, the husband called out, "Watch out for the pillar!" This may sound mundane, but there are transcendental things we can learn from these things. But anyway, look, the thing is, seriously, that every living entity is conditioned. We are conditioned. I have a male body, you have a female body. I'm so many years old, you're younger. And we are oriented in different ways. Yes, and so if in any given situation, we are likely to choose differently. Where would you like to go on holiday? So different choices will come up. And where do they come from? They come from our conditioned natures, to a large extent. You know, to ascertain to what degree it is our conditioned nature talking, and to what degree it is really some manifestation of genuine free will, just, you know, just an open choice, not being dictated to, but just freely deciding. It's a little hard to really calculate exactly, but I think if you think about it, I think you'll see that in many, many ways, the decisions we make in our lives have their roots in our conditioning, our upbringing, type of personality we've developed. And that all means the modes of material nature, how they've been working on us, and what our situation is in the modes right now. So Saturday night, someone wants to go to the disco. Someone wants to go, you know, to the restaurant perhaps. Someone wants to just stay home and have a quiet evening. Different choices, different natures are speaking. So really, the fact is, at least as a sort of a bottom line, is that we are not making so many decisions in terms of real free will, just totally objective, just analyze without any special little considerations of our own, just analyze, decide. Yeah. We're under the control of the material modes in many, many ways. Therefore, women will think along womanly lines, men along men's lines, animals like dogs will think along doggish lines like this. Life is going on. And the scope for real free will is quite limited, at least. Quite limited. But when it comes to making the choice, shall I continue in material existence or shall I take up spiritual life? This is more of an exhibition of free will, because spiritual life is not really related to our conditioned existence and what we've experienced, how we've been brought up. It's a different thing in so many ways. I mean, ultimately, it's a completely different thing, actually. But, you know, at least basically, it is a different thing. So Srila Prabhupada made that point, he doesn't really mention it here, but elsewhere, that the greatest exhibition of free will by the living entity is in making that choice to take up Krishna consciousness. Because that choice, that inspiration, that type of attraction is not really so much based on your upbringing and your type of personality. I mean, we get all types. Sitting in this room here, we have a number of types, don't we? And if you look around the ISKCON world, we have many types of people. You know, literally, I would say practically all types. But they've made the choice to take up Krishna consciousness. And in so many ways, the choice was made like on similar grounds to others who made that choice. But you put all those different types of people in the same material situation, and they might choose many different types of things because they just have different material inclinations. Put them in a music shop and ask them, okay, just find what appeals to the most and just put it on. Oh, you know, you get all different types of music playing. But here now we've got so many types of people, they made the same choice for similar reasons. So this is more of an exhibition of free will, which is not really dictated to so much by your conditioned nature, how you've been brought up, and the type of personality you have, whether you're really a sattvic person or if you're a really passionate business person, or if you're just some sort of lazy, tamasic person. I remember when I first joined, we had one devotee. He would, this was in Berry Place in London, and it was about four or five floors high. Then there was an attic. And those who didn't want to attend Mangal Arati, they stayed in the attic. And the leader was a devotee named Mukti Ananda. He's late now. And he was a devotee. He was definitely a devotee. He was initiated devotee. But he was really sort of, you know, with all due respect to his memory, kind of on the tamasic side. He was just happy, you know, whenever he'd get a spare 10 minutes, oh, I can take some rest. It was really quite something. So every Mangal Arati, we would go up to try and wake him up. And he would, you know, as Mangal Arati is going on, he would be in his sleeping bag. And he would say, Prabhu, I can hear the Mangal Arati. It was right up the top of the building. So, yeah. So, you know, that tamasic nature was still there. But he was a devotee. Anyway, he passed away after a while. Yes, so, but now, yeah. So, when we're in material life, I mean, you can understand this point about how we make our material choices, how it's largely in a conditioned way and not much really like clearly free will, totally object, absolutely object. And then once you take to spiritual life, once you take to Krishna consciousness, then of course you have to do, you sort of have to follow the program. Again, it's not totally mechanical that you just, like a puppet, you just get pushed around to do this and that. There's some room for making choices to serve in this way, serve in that way, and, you know, like this. But in many respects, when you take to Krishna consciousness, you know, like classic example, if one's initiated, you have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told Srila Prabhupada, I want you to preach in English. Right on the first day they met, before they had even said hello, you know that story. Prabhupada would, he'd come in and offered obeisances. He'd never seen Srila Bhaktisiddhanta before. And it was, he didn't know who he was. Of course, he'd been told he was a great sadhu, but he was kind of skeptical about sadhus. But it was just the social, the practice. He was brought up in the Vaishnava family. So when there's a sadhu, you may offer your obeisances. So he came, he just offered his obeisances like that. Not so much like, wow, it's the sadhu, I should offer my obeisances, but he just did it. And as he was in the process of coming up off the ground, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, you're an educated young man. You should preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. It will benefit you and will benefit those who hear you. So, Srila Prabhupada, as things unfolded that evening, he effectively accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as his spiritual master. And, of course, it was not until many years later that Prabhupada really took that order, really took it up, took the bull by the horns. It was many years, it was like, I don't know, 40 years or something, 35 years later. But the whole time he was thinking about it and meditating on it and planning it. Yeah, so it's like that. Once you take up spiritual life, well, in Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what does Lord Krishna say? Sarva dharmam paricharya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Prabhupada has chosen this word, surrender. He could have used other words, but surrender, we all know. Surrender has a very specific type of meaning. You know, surrender, it's first of all, it's like a military kind of concept. And when people in that type of situation have surrendered, then the people they surrendered to, they are basically in charge of them. And they take control. Okay, you do this, you do that. Make them live somewhere. Give them some program of activity. And those surrendered people, like soldiers, if they're soldiers, the surrendered soldiers, when they're locked up, and now their captors come and say, okay, we want you to dig a hole. Then the surrendered ones, They cannot say, well, I'm not really in the mood. I'm not very good with holes. Why don't you dig a hole if you want a hole? You know, they cannot do that, can they? Surrender. Surrender means, okay, I am yours. So, yeah. So in Krishna consciousness, when we seriously commit ourselves to Krishna consciousness and become initiated and really make it the focal point of our lives, then, again, our free will, the scope for our free will becomes narrowed down. Not absolutely, like we said, that there's still some scope for different choices, but still, at the same time, we speak of, Lord Chaitanya spoke of, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. We are servants. Dasa Das Anudas. Anu is the Sanskrit word for atom. It means the smallest particle. When you divide matter down, 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 until you can divide it no further, when it becomes that indivisible part is called anu. Or we say atom. So, anu das then means, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I am the servant of the servant of the servant. But he doesn't say I'm dasa dasa das. First of all, he doesn't say I'm das. Then he doesn't say I'm dasa das, the servant of the servant. Then he doesn't say I'm dasa dasa das, servant of the servant of the servant. He says I'm dasa das anu das. I'm the little, little, little servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And Prabhupada said that the more times you can really say das, that I am dasa 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 dasa, servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. It may seem you're getting further away from Krishna, but Prabhupada said actually, the more time servant is there, even though it appears you're more removed, but actually you're closer. So the mood is to be a servant, and when you're the servant, and the master requests, please do this, please don't do that, then if you're the servant, then you obey. So again, my point here is that once we've taken to Krishna consciousness, that free scope of our will to just, you know, do whatever, again becomes restricted. Not that that's bad, it's good, but it's just in terms of free will as such, that's how it operates. And this is what Lord Krishna is talking about here. Everyone is taking birth. Means getting a body. And it's not just taking birth, but then as their lives develop, also from that point, everyone is situated in a position governed by the three modes of material nature in one combination or another. Someone more sattvic, someone more passionate, someone more tamasic, ignorant, like this. And of course the modes fluctuate. Sometimes even someone who is more sattvic, sometimes the mode of passion pushes them and they do some passionate things. Someone who's more passionate, sometimes they become so tired through racing around trying to do this and achieve that and get this done and make it big. They get so tired or get into the mode of ignorance. So things like this are going on. So what to do? What to do? Some would say, come to the mode of goodness, because there your head is clearer. You're not just being pushed by passion and ignorance, which are lower. You know, passion means like shaking you. And when you're being shaken by something quite violent, then it's difficult to function nicely, isn't it? And tamaguna obviously is just dullness. And when you're dull and lazy, then again you can't function nicely. But in the mode of goodness, you may be able to do things very efficiently. Get things done, but without having to race around like the person in passion. I think it may have been here a while ago, we talked about active intelligent, lazy intelligent, active fool, lazy fool. Did we discuss that here? Someone said yes. Was it you, baby? So anyway, active intelligent means kind of passionate, racing around, but intelligent, getting things done. Lazy intelligent means more in the mode of goodness, not racing around, but through the intelligence getting the things done. Active fool means trying to do so many things, but two left feet, two left hands, and messing up everything. And lazy fool is just asleep. So who is best? Well, I think we sort of told you. A lazy intelligent is best. This is more in the mode of goodness. Clear. How to execute things effectively with a minimum of bother. The next is active intelligent. At least they can get things done. And which is next? Active fool or lazy fool? Lazy fool is next, because at least they don't mess too many things up, because they're just asleep. But active fool is the worst. You know, whatever they do, you hear smash, bang. So all modes of material nature. So you might say, well, let's get into the mode of goodness, but actually here, yeah, what is Srila Prabhupada recommending? Come to the transcendental platform. And it's interesting, you know, in the 11th canto, I didn't know we were going to read this verse, otherwise I would have looked it up. But in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava. And he tells Uddhava, there are, if I remember correctly, 10 things in your life, which you, if you adjust them nicely, you can change your position in the modes and even come to the transcendental position. One is the place you live in. If you adjust the place you live in, let us say, transcendentally, you know, instead of living in a pigsty, I know none of you. You are all very nice. But I have seen some devotees, you know, maybe pigsty is the room. Not a nice word to use. But I've walked into their rooms and I thought, my God. I mean, did something go wrong? No, this is how they live. So if you adjust the place you live, like, you know the example? If you have in one place dirt and a Brahmin, either the dirt will go or the Brahmin will go. Or if they somehow come to the point of coexisting, it means the Brahmin has ceased to really be a Brahmin. Yeah, so like this, you can adjust the place we live and make it Krishna conscious, Krishnize it. And this will help to elevate us. You just walk in, you walk into the temple in Radharadnath, into the temple room, and oh, it has this transcendental energy. It's so, so powerful, actually. And just all pervasive there. So we can, if we make our place like that, then the same thing will happen to us when we just go home. You know, some people, well, having said that, not just some people, but devotees have, in many places, they just rent or buy some ordinary building, just some house or something, and convert it into a temple. And then you walk in, and again, oh, transcendental, that transcendental atmosphere is so, so dramatically present. So, you know, in other words, you can adjust your own home transcendentally. And it will help to elevate you. Then, the food you eat. If we eat, well, if, first of all, if we only eat prasadam, then that will help to elevate us. And even, you know, there is, so to speak, prasadam and prasadam. Yeah. So if you really get into it and make nice prasadam, then, you know, that's even better than just, so to speak, regular prasadam or some prasadam that's been thrown together or something like that. Yeah. So this will also have a big effect. You can adjust that. Then Krishna says, you can adjust what you read. Instead of reading, you know, so many other things, stick as much as possible to Krishna conscious literature. And that will elevate your consciousness. And he says also, the mantras you chant and hear, or in other words, what you hear and what you talk about, instead of, you know, we have advanced from kuch kuch to hey, I mean myself, in terms of my knowledge of Hindi movies, you can choose Om Shanti Om. This is today. Or Arjunachale. Madhuri Dixit. Or Srila Prabhupada's books, or a Krishna conscious video perhaps, or something like this. I mean, or some kirtan, right? You can adjust these things. And if you adjust them, well, whatever way you adjust them, they will have the corresponding influence on you. And if you adjust them in Krishna consciousness, then your life, it will have an effect if you stick at it. And then various other things, the people you associate with, the work you do, and I forget all the things, but these are some of the main ones, perhaps. You get the idea. It's a matter of making adjustments. I mean, after all, in one sense, what is life? It is a whole process of making adjustments to achieve whatever you want to achieve. So we want to achieve Krishna consciousness. So we should adjust our lives. In that way we'll become independent of the modes. At least we'll become more independent. Even though, as I said, like that devotee there in England, he was kind of on the tamasic side. You know, that was the good old days, so to speak. And in the Brahmachari ashram, life was high-powered. It was high-powered. I wouldn't put many of you in there. You know, honestly, I don't know what would happen to you. But it really was high-powered. Now, if you didn't get up for Mangalarati unless you were in the attic, and even sometimes the attic was raided. But if you didn't get up for Mangalarati, they got you up. Bye. Sometimes a bucket of water. Sometimes. Anyway, we won't go into it too much. But, you know, there was that devotee. He was kind of tamasic. Of course, we should have done more and he should have done more to get out of it. But still, it's a fact. Different devotees have somewhat different natures within the context of Krishna consciousness. But because the focus is Krishna, they're not simply being dictated to by the modes. Even though some influence is there due to habit and upbringing and personality like that. So let us do this then. Let us adjust our lives. Already we've done it to some degree. Let us continue adjusting our lives, seeing what is the way forward, what is suitable for us, taking into consideration our current circumstances, and then try to adjust things to move forward. Of course, you know, in order to decide, I will adjust this or that, and make a reasonable decision about what to adjust and what adjustment to make, we may need some guidance. And, you know, spiritual master, or if not spiritual master, amongst the senior devotees we can get guidance. Otherwise we may make some choice, you know, yes, I must adjust, I must chant more, write 64 rounds a day, or die. I must sleep less, write 2 hours a night, thus. So we may make some wrong decisions about good things. Good things. Increase your chanting. Very good. Don't be so much, you know, sleeping and all that. Very good. But we may not make the decision in the right way. So, you know, association, I was looking around the wall. It has all these little posters at the top. The value of different things. Empathy, friendship, gratitude, and some other things. Imagination, whoa, speculate. But I don't see the value of association. Of course, the value of friendship, that's okay. But it is only one type of association. But association is very important for helping us in many ways, but seeing we're talking about this subject, helping us to make those decisions, how to adjust, what to do, what not to do, to improve ourselves and progress. Because let's face it, that's what it's about. We're here to progress in Krishna consciousness. This is really what we're here for. Not just for the company, I mean in a social sense, not just for the food, or the music, well, of course it all adds up, but we're here to progress in our Krishna consciousness. So let's try and be progressive and see how to adjust our lives and ourselves so that we can get out of just being so much under the modes of nature. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Thank you. Extremely. No, that's okay. Now, who brought presents? So, what should we do?